Hey, Bridgeway, welcome to Church Online, Church at Home. I am so grateful that we have these moments together. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I hope that God has taken really good care that you're staying safe, staying at home. I can't wait till we are back together. If you're new with us this morning, we began a series last week that I titled Pray, Trusting God in a Hurting World. Man, I can't think of a better time than now. I get excited thinking about how God could be using this time for each one of us to draw closer to Him, specifically in kind of this conversational opportunity we have with God. That's what prayer is. It's a conversation with God. And what better time than now to lean into God? We're in the middle of this global pandemic. But part of the hurt that I see in the world today has to do with our social and political realm. This is not clickbait. I want to talk to you today about our prayers and our politics. Now, I know how that can sound. I know that for some of you, you just hear the word politics and your blood pressure begins to rise. You get kind of all hot and excited and tempered about what you feel is going on in the world today. And my job is not to work you up into a frenzy. I believe the news and the media channels can do enough of that. I actually want us to think seriously, theologically, about what our faith looks like during turbulent times in our political realm. How do we actually think in a way in which honors God through our thoughts about society and our civic responsibility? You see, I think what's missing in a lot of honest, or dare I say, heated conversations about politics, what's missing most is leaning into God and seeking God in our time of prayer. And so how do we do that? How do we do that as individuals and ultimately as a community of faith? Leaning and knowing what Jesus actually said and what He requires of us as followers of Him. You know, over the years, I've been asked so many questions about faith and politics. I've had people say specifically about this church, Bridgeway, you know, is Bridgeway a church for Republicans or Democrats? Is it a church that's conservative or liberal? Are we right wing or left wing? And I want to tell you, we are for the whole bird. You know, it's important that we, as a community, embrace our differences because we need each other and we need our thoughts and our opinions and our beliefs more than ever before to be united. I've also found that many people, when they want to talk about politics, what they really want is they want you to endorse or support their idea of the right way of doing things. I can't tell you how many people over the years have said, you know, Pastor, you need to address that hot button political issue, or you need to speak about that person's character or endorse that candidate. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I have been very careful to protect the pulpit here at Bridgeway so that it would never, for anyone, turn into an opportunity for lobbying or hobby horsing an idea or a thought. The goal of preaching is to direct our hearts and our minds to Jesus. He is the aim. He is our goal. He is our salvation. And my goal as a pastor is to humbly submit to God and to call people to do the same thing. That's what it looks like to turn spiritually hungry people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. But I've also realized that silence on this subject sends a message as well. And that's why I want us to think and to really lean into one another and into what the Bible says about what our faith and our political civil responsibilities should be in a thoughtful way. You know, Jesus would say some things about us as believers that really should catch our attention today as to the influence and the place of leadership we need to be in the world at all times, but especially during difficult times. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5, He would give us this label. He would say, followers of mine, you are the light of the world. That's a pretty heavy statement. You are to be a light into a very dark world. And then He would say this. In verse 16 of chapter 5, Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So needed in our world today that we would align our actions with the light that God's given us to shine brightly in a way that glorifies Him in the world today. How do we do that? How do we intersect our faith and our public policy? How do we do so in a way that is intelligent and thoughtful, and actually not only honors God, but builds people up instead of tears them down? I know one line of thinking going on today is, well, we just need to all believe the same thing. I once heard it said that the easiest church to pastor is a church where everyone voted the same way. And I know that's not the case at Bridgeway, nor would I want it to be. In fact, that violates sort of something inside of us about what it means to be an American. And that really violates something even deeper inside of us that God has woven into our DNA of humanity. And that is the freedom to choose. See, here's what's so beautiful about a community of faith, that it can do both. It can uphold the dignity of values and opinions of people while at the same time upholding the command to love one another. And that's maybe where I become concerned as a pastor, as I look around at what's being said and shared today, and I think that what's missing is that love for one another. It can be so easy to become backbiting and negative and just honestly just consumed by the current events. In fact, I've noticed this in my own life. I've become so consumed. In fact, I've been watching the news more than usual. In fact, I've got one finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world with the virus, and then the other on sort of how that impacts us as a community, as a church. And I've just found at times that it can be just sort of consuming my mind. I said to Sean, my wife this morning, I said to her, you know, I've noticed that I will walk into a room and I will forget why I even walked into the room. I'll be like, why am I in this room? And then I'll go a little bit and I'll walk in another room and I'll be like, what am I doing in this room? It can be so consuming, and it doesn't have to be. We can lean into God in our prayer. So what I want to do in this talk is I want to just list out all the concerns that I hear, some of the concerns that I hear going on in the world today. And as I do that, I'm not going to weigh in on these concerns, but I want to list them. And then I want to move us to actually thinking about how God would want us to respond thoughtfully and properly to the world around us. So here's just a list of the concerns. The first one I've kind of already mentioned, and that's that it's getting a bit chippy out there. I think the tone and the rhetoric has become so divisive in our nation today. And it kind of trickles down from the top at the national level to the state level to the individual level, and then ultimately to how we communicate with one another, to what gets posted on social media. That's one concern. Another concern is sort of what I've noticed as the blame game. There is a lot of finger pointing and kind of this idea of who's to blame, that people can feel as though they're being made a scapegoat in this situation. That's another concern. There's concerns around the testing. If we're going to get our nation open back up again, then we need to increase our testing. And lots of concerns about who's being tested, who's not being tested, who's eligible, who's paying for all that testing. Another big concern. There's concerns about our economy. How do we get the economy back up and running again? What's going to happen to small businesses? What about these programs, these financial programs that are drying up that should be helping our small businesses? I know just personally, I've been praying for those of you who are business owners in our community. I love the community of Rockford and our surrounding area. And so I'm praying for many of you business owners because I know how trying and how difficult this is for you. There's a lot of concern for public health and safety and the right way to handle that. There's concern about the loss of life. There's a great concern about just kind of the views expressed at the government level, kind of the anti-government tone that's being carried out in our world right now. I mean, there are lists that could go on and on. I could fill this entire talk with concerns, but I don't think that would move us any closer towards the solution. And I don't think that that would really move us as a people of faith to honoring God. So I want to bring to mind a few things that God has been reminding me of in this time. And the first is this. How do you deal with politically turbulent times as a person of faith? The first thing I would say is to remember that God created all things. All things. God is the creator. Now, some of you might be listening to this thinking that that's just too simple. And if that's you, then I want to remind you that you're missing one of the key components of what it means to be a follower submitted to God. That God is the ultimate authority, that he is the divine creator. That God has created all things, including governments and rulers and society and the people who run them. That the people that God has placed in authority are human beings, that they are people like every one of us, made in the image of God, that you never lock eyes with someone that doesn't matter to God, that each person is created with a soul, and that soul is to be cared for and deeply, deeply loved with justice and concern for those who are less fortunate. We give our ultimate allegiance to God as our creator, not to party or nation or state, that God is the ruler because he's the creator of all things. You know, the Bible was written in very turbulent times as well. When you think about it, the Romans crucified Jesus, and Jesus was not the first person that the Romans hung on a cross. That was sort of the way in which they dealt with any insurrectionist, anyone who came up against them. And the church, the young early church, was very concerned and faced martyrdom and persecution. In fact, the Caesars of that day, just for sport, would take Christians, impale them on poles, and light them as torches for their backyard. That's how they treated Christians. And yet, it's during that time that the Apostle Paul writes his church about this great reminder that God is the creator of all things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, he says these words. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things. You know, he lists that phrase three times in that verse. All things are created by God. And notice what he lists there. He says thrones and powers and rulers and authorities. All things are created by God. And the really good news is it says, and he holds them all together. You know, when I was a kid, we sang this song in nursery that went like this. Maybe you remember this song. It's the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Do you remember the words to that song? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the itty-bitty baby in his hands. He's got a you and me brother in his hands. He's got a you and me sister in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And can you imagine if we sang that song today? And the words were instead, he's got Washington, D.C. in his hands. He's got a Lansing in his hands. He's got you and me in his hands. I mean, it's so interesting. The freedom in which our nation, our country enjoys is also what we often fight and argue about the most. I was reading at a time in our history, just before our Constitution was formed, about a very divisive time. In fact, it was in 1787 where a group of our founding fathers got together, and some inside of that group wanted to form a type of government that looked more like our motherland. And it got very heated. It got very divisive. And then it was Benjamin Franklin who stood up and said these words, and I quote, he said, "We are groping in the dark to find political truth. How had it happened that we have not humbly applied to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding?" Do you see what Benjamin Franklin is saying there? He's actually saying that there is a sovereign God, and we're just sort of, as politicians, groping in the dark. Why has it not dawned on us to approach and to seek the Father of Lights? who could illuminate our understanding. See, this is where I have great hope for our nation, is that we can once again turn to the Father of lights. I think what's needed so desperately is this right thinking that God is the creator of all things. What's needed as well, not just right thinking, but also kind of a right and proper check of our emotions. Or maybe to put it better, I think that I want to encourage you during this time to avoid political polarization. Political polarization is this idea that there's this widening gap among beliefs. And the gap is getting so wide that it's actually becoming intolerant to agree with someone who holds the opposite view of you. In fact, there was a study done by the Pew Research Foundation, and they found that this gap of political polarization has been widening since the 1980s, but has really grown sharp since about the year 2000. It's why we would kind of notice that today feels more like a less United States of America. And while the media and the headlines, part of their job is to get you to click, to get you to read. And so they use divisive tactics because that's what sells. And that's not really where our problem lies. I think our problem often lies with how our own emotions are drawn to become so frustrated and so annoyed with the people around us. Flawed human beings. People who are sinful, people who are wrong just as often as they are right, people like you and people like me. And yet the calling is to, in a way in which honors God, is that we would be united as a people. Some of you are thinking, well, come on, Pastor. I mean, I can't possibly agree with someone who has a different political stance than I do. That just isn't going to happen. I don't even think God would want that to happen. And if that's what you believe, then you've missed one of the most brilliant moves that Jesus has ever made in all of his time with us on earth. In fact, what Jesus did is, when you think of it in the current light of our environment today, so shocking. You know, Jesus had these 12 disciples that followed him, these 12 followers, his original group and band. And inside of that group, each one of those people were unique and different. Some of them were very different and different in their political views. I'll give you an example. In fact, one of the disciples that Jesus called is Matthew, the tax collector. And do you know what a tax collector was in the day of Jesus? A tax collector is someone who said, I'm going to partner with Rome, sell myself out from my normal community, and I'm going to partner with Rome to extort as much money as I possibly can from my community and people around me. They had partnered with Rome in a way in which would make Rome rich, and oh, by the way, would make the tax collector very wealthy as well. The man in the middle could take as much as he could get away with. And yet God called Matthew to be one of his disciples. Another one of his disciples that Jesus called is Simon the Zealot. Now, not Simon Peter, but Simon the Zealot. And it's that little name, Zealot, that gets attached to this Simon that's so unique. Do you know what a zealot was? A zealot was someone who was opposed to the Roman government. So opposed that they had made a vow, a commitment to stand against Rome and to use violence if necessary. And God called Simon the Zealot to be a part of his original 12 disciples. I mean, can you imagine what that was like? Matthew and Simon the Zealot together? I imagine Jesus looked at the two of them and said, hey, Matt, hey, Simon, guess what? You're roommates on the next road trip we're taking together. Can you imagine just how the brilliance of Jesus to say, we're not going to avoid this issue. Instead, I'm going to draw you together in your differences. See, this is an important point about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. See, while we're called to go out into the world and to shape and form policy, our greater calling in the world is not to make policy. It's to make disciples. Followers of Jesus, committed, sold out, that despite our differences, I'm going to love one another as I love God in my life. You know, part of discipleship making is what is really needed in this whole topic. You see, as becoming disciples, it's really important that we uphold this value of putting our prayers before our politics. You know, how do you respond in really turbulent, difficult times? With prayer. When there's discord in our nation, it's a calling to pray. Think about it. Jesus says so many profound things, but one of the things he says is that we're to pray for our enemies. And just in this topic for just a moment, just as a little bit of a thought experiment, I want you to do this with me. I want you to think of and actually get the name or the face of someone who is your political enemy. Could be a lawmaker, could be a political figure. Who's your enemy in the political realm right now? Could be someone in your office. Maybe it's that person that all they want to do all day long is talk politics, and you just want to get your work done, and you're so annoyed by them. Or maybe it's someone on social media, and you're just like, oh, I've got to unfriend this person. I can't stand what they post, but I really don't want to unfriend them. I'll just stop following. No, I want to be annoyed and aggravated by what they post. Who is your political enemy? Now, Jesus says, pray for that person. He really says that. Pray for your enemy. Pray for the people who you disagree with most. Commit to praying for them. You know, this isn't just my idea. In fact, the Bible gives us this idea as a way in which we're to orient our life and never allow our differences to come between us. There's this word given to us in 1 Timothy, again by Paul, where he says these words. He says, I urge you, then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul says, I urge you with all prayers and petitions and intercession to pray. And who's the first person he lists? He says to pray for kings and all of those in authority. You know, when Paul wrote these words to Timothy, Paul was in prison. You want to know who put Paul in prison? Caesar Nero. And look what Paul does. Paul says, I'm in prison, and Nero, you haven't stopped me from preaching the word of God, but I'm calling the church to pray for you. How do you do something like that? Paul, you've lost your mind. You're calling the church to pray for the person who would eventually execute you, take your life from you. And Paul says it matters little. What matters most is that we pray for one another. Just imagine, how different would the world be if we really committed to praying for our president, to praying for our Congress, to praying for our state officials, to just pray for them, to pray that they can make the right decisions. They got a tough job in this day and age. I mean, imagine that. I was thinking about this. I got time to complain. I got time to be critical. That means I have time to pray for those in authority. Just as Paul, I urge you that all petitions and prayers and intercessions be made for all people. Again, all things fall under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I've been challenging you throughout this series, and I've been calling our church to a season of deep prayer. And when I mean deep prayer, I don't mean just prayers that are deep and are filled with the right words, but the reality that prayer is deep. It's no longer being content to want to swim in the shallow end and to say, you know what, I'm going to go all in my faith, and I'm going to make the voice of God, talking and listening to God, a priority every single day. And so I've challenged you, especially if you're new to the whole topic of prayer, to begin wherever you're at. I've encouraged you to set a timer. Maybe you set that timer and it's like, as far as you can set the timer is 5 minutes. 5 minutes is all I can handle of prayer. Maybe it's only 1 minute. And you're like, you know what, I'm a newbie to this. I'm just going to set the timer for 1 minute. And I want to tell you, whether it's 1 minute or an hour or all day, God honors that effort of prayer. And what if we, in our time of prayer, lifted up the needs of our nation, the needs of our world, lifted up all of those in political positions around us and around the world. Just imagine what kind of a difference that could make in our world. If we prayed for this virus to be ended, if we prayed for the vaccine to to come, if we prayed for all people to come to know God through this global pandemic, imagine what our prayers could do. I'm challenging you to pray, not as a cop-out or as a cliche, but honestly believing that prayer matters because prayer changes things. I'll end with this. If you're a part of Bridgeway, and if you've been on our prayer chain recently, you would have been following a story that we've all been praying for. In fact, it wasn't someone in our church, but someone that was connected to our church that we found out was infected with COVID-19. And prayers went out. Our church prayed, and many other churches prayed for this individual connected to our church. And it was looking really grim for this individual. In fact, this person was fighting for their life, and they were put on a ventilator, spent 14 days on a ventilator. And then we found out, kind of the miracle on Easter, we found out that this person was not only improving, but just recently we found out this person no longer has COVID-19. They've completely tested negative for this virus. I mean, praise God for the power of prayer. You know, I know not every situation is going to work out that way, but you want to know what the most bold prayer that you could pray is to simply pray, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, just think about that prayer. How subversive is that prayer? God, not my control, not my will, not my way. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just think about that. Our prayers are designed to bring heaven down to earth. You can be a part of that by praying. Bring it up there, right down here. That's our hope, and that's His promise. I want to pray with you. If you would bow your head and pray with me, please. God, I want to thank you for these moments that we have. These moments are so precious that we can be together in this format as a community. God, I pray for so many people who are new and being introduced to this topic of a relationship with you and a conversational dialogue that they can have with you on an ongoing basis. Man, that is so needed right now. God, what's so needed in our world today is that there would be healing in the world around us. You promised through your prophet Malachi that there would be healing in your wings. God, I love that picture of just you just sweeping over our land. God, would you bring that healing that's in your wings over our nation, over our world? God, would you heal us in the ways that we need you? And would you heal us each individually? God, I pray that you would ignite in us this passion, this desire for the one thing that's needed, which is a relationship with you and to engage in the conversation that you so desperately want to have with us. God, I pray that your voice would not be a myth or a mystery to us, but that your voice would be a guide that brings us through these times and in all the ways that we can, that we would shine our light brightly into the world around us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.